It's good to see you all here this afternoon. We're looking at what it means to be holy. We're looking at compassion, and we're looking at fighting injustice that we see in the world. So that's where we're going. So we're looking at a heart that is pure in a prophetic style, prophetic lifestyle. Hear what the Bible says, James chapter 1, 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to anger, and to speak carefully. For every man's anger does not bring around the religious life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, that is Christ, and gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. If anyone considers themselves to be religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on the tongue, they deceive themselves, and the religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We're looking at that, especially this afternoon, keeping ourselves from being polluted by the world. A stain, a strain, the workings of passion. Be ready to hear and consider what God's word teaches you. When we are being tempted, don't blame God. God doesn't tempt us to go astray. Persevere under trial. Evil desires give birth to sin. What we see, what we smell, what we feel hurt. When we are persevering under trial, turn to the Lord. Turn your face upon Jesus. What is this all about? Well, Galatians 5 tells us that if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. See, what are those desires? What are those desires of a sinful nature? Well, there's moral filth and evil that James refers to. Sexual immorality. That's one of the things that seems to be on our TV screens so regularly, every program we watch, often displayed as being the norm, being good and exciting. That is not what the Bible teaches. Beware. Temptation is that because everybody else seems to do it, but we're going to do it. Do not get drawn into that example to follow things that we know are bad. Beware of them. Debauchery. What does that mean? It means excessive indulgence in sex, alcohol or drugs, corruption, vice, depravity, perversion, wickedness, immorality, lust, promiscuity, selfish indulgence. Beware of being angry. When I used to work as an MD at a plastics industry, my chairman used to love it when I got angry at some of the decisions that he made, which I thought were rubbish. He said after a few years, I love it when you get angry. I love it because I know then that I've won the argument. When you're angry, you lose your reason, you lose your common sense, you lose everything. And our emotions can so easily overcome common sense. Our anger does not bring around the righteous life that God desires of each one of us. Again, these words from Scripture. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We've heard it two or three times already today. We need to take these words to heart. They're not just words on a page for someone to look at. We need that spiritual gift of self-control. Anger can so easily run away with us. We'll do and say things that we know we shouldn't do. The worst things that we can bring into the church fellowship are disputes, differences, Christians judging one another, Christians falling out with each other. You know, that's music to the devil. He loves it. He loves it when we fall out, when we argue with one another, when we disagree and get cross. If you're feeling angry, take it to the Lord in prayer. Like all evil thoughts and actions, there are symptoms of an evil heart. We need to confess them to the Lord. We need to pray for a cleansing. Pray them out. Don't just settle for them and say, so I pray them out. Pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough just to restrain ungodly thoughts and actions. We need to cast them out. something that we seem hard to learn that lesson. We accept things and just carry on because there's no deal with it. Instead of feeding on our own anger, bad thoughts, whatever, we need to feed on the Word of God, not just on Sundays, but every day. I want you to remember this too. Every day the devil wants you to let God down. Every day. He doesn't have a rest. Every day he wants you to let God down. He wants you to enter into filth and moral filth of one sort or another. The Bible's saying here, in debate or in conversation, be slow to speak. Don't go rushing in without thinking through what you want to say. It's so easy to deeply hurt folk. Go the first one up, Ben, please. The first visual one. Thank you. I wonder how often we fall into that trap, judging other people so quickly. Next one. It does happen, you know. Believe me. Next one. It's so easy to criticize, condemn, and judge other people. And so often in churches, one of the major sins is gossip. That's a particular honey that people chase after, isn't it? Have you heard about so-and-so? About him? Or have you heard about her? Do you know what she did last week? You know, and it goes round and round, and grows, and usually changes as well. It is a sin. If we have a sharp tongue, always censoring others, it implies that we're not truly walking with the Lord. We're told not to judge others. So get rid of all the moral filth and evil that's so prevalent. Humbly accept the Word of God that is planted in you. It's so easy to ignore it. In so many Christian places, this is something that seems to get lost. We cannot overestimate the importance of reading God's Word and feeding on it every day. A lot of people think, oh, I do it on Sunday. I believe God's saying, no, do it every day. Do it morning and evening, great. God doesn't limit the amount of scripture we can read, you know. We don't just need to read the scriptures, we need to receive them into our hearts. Be willing to acknowledge our faults and address them. If we are to be a prophetic Christian people, we need to separate ourselves from the systems of this world which exploit and oppress others. Because basically that's a modern form of slavery. How do you read God's word? How do you hear God's word? I always reckon that when reading scripture, it's good to ask the Holy Spirit to come and bring that word to life. After all, he's the one who wrote it and arranged it in the first place. Say, come Holy Spirit, bring this word of yours to me. Make it live and receive it. So often it's so easy to read a word and just forget it. Move on to the next thing. Oh, let's go and do this. Let's go and do that. I think it's so important that we feed on the Word of God every day. Don't just read the verses and say, well, I've done that, so I can walk away from it. Receive God's Word into your hearts, into your lives. And it's no good telling folk that you're a Christian if your behaviour says otherwise. They're not fooled, because they see us Monday to Saturday as well as on the Sundays. And it's no good just hearing and listening to the Word of God, but then doing nothing about it. As most preachers tell us, it's so important to practice what we preach. People love throwing that at ministers and pastors and so on. But it's for everybody that. We need to practice what we assert day by day. It's no good if we say we're Christians, but our daily life shows something very different in the eyes of our neighbours. How does your life look to your neighbours? How do they see you living? How do they see your daily behaviour? Your language? As long as we're walking with the Lord and keep our eyes fixed on him, we will have nothing to fear. But if we ignore that, we walk straight into trouble. Be careful how you speak. If anyone considers themselves to be religious, but doesn't keep a tight rein on their tongue, they deceive themselves. That person's faith is worthless. That's a challenge. I don't think any of us want to think of our faith as worthless. Psalm 24:4 says this, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. It's only a few words, but isn't it powerful? Do we have clean hands? Do we have pure hearts? It's a challenge, isn't it? Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. God's calling us to be pure in heart. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, the words of Jesus. Titus 2:5, be self-controlled and pure. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans, to look after the weak, look after widows, look after the poor in their distress, and to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. There's so much emphasis in our advertising, in books and in films, everything else, to do the things that we know as Christians are wrong. Yet we sit and we watch them. We take it into our minds and our hearts. And after a while you begin to think, oh, that's the norm. It's not. We're being deceived. We need to remember what God's heart is. It is a holy heart. It reaches out to the poor. And if we're going to be children of God, then surely we should have that same Christian responsibility. If that's important to God, it ought to have better be important to us, don't you think? God's heart reaches out to the poor. And this challenges, I think, our attitude to the poor generally. Yes, the poor in heart, but also the poor in their daily lives, the poor in spirit. Those who are homeless and helpless. Those who are running around the world, as almost like as it said last week, I think, looking at sheep running around, not quite sure what's going to happen, what's going to be done, how they're going to live. As Christians, we have responsibility for our attitudes. We have responsibility for our behaviour towards those in distress. And if we're going to be really holy, true holiness is linked to justice. It's also linked to actually telling people about God. It's vital that we tell people that God loves them. So many people in the world, so many I've spoken to over the past, I don't know, many years, feel unloved, unwanted, criticised, condemned. It's vital that we take this good news out to those who are suffering, that God loves them, God cares for them, God sent Jesus and he died for them. We have a fantastic message to those who are lost, those who are wandering around the world at this time. They need to hear the words of Jesus. They need the message of good news. Words without actions have no value. If we say, oh yeah, you're absolutely right, we're not going to do anything about it. What value is that? We need to practice what we preach, what we say, what we do. We need to live Christian lives. We're tempted to by more of the filth. Idolatry, one of God's famous commandments. You shall destroy pagan sacred pillars and altars, cut down their wooden images. You shall worship no other god. Look how many gods get worshipped today. Money, position, power, cars, houses, children, footballers, sporting teams, athletes, non-Christian societies. Some worship church buildings. Oh, what a lovely building. It doesn't get any nearer to God, does it? Let's be honest. We can appreciate things without actually moving anywhere near God at all. Some worship church leaders. God says you shall worship no other god. More than moral filth that spoils a sorcery. What does that mean? It means playing with tarot cards, visiting mediums, getting involved with witchcraft, reading the stars. There's still so much pagan worship which surrounds us here in battle. We're surrounded by it in many ways. But in God's name, we have the victory. But we have to address those things that we know are wrong. It's no good standing back saying, oh, that's nice. Oh, it's just a bit of fun. It's not a bit of fun. All these things are fighting against the truth of God, of who he is, what he stands for, what is right, what is true, what is holy. We need to be those who stand in that place. Do not be fooled by people who say, oh, it's just a bit of fun. It's not. But hatred. Be careful you don't allow hatred to be part of your character. Hatred equates to murder in the heart. So when you're getting cross and really hating someone, just think about what you're doing. It's a spiritual attack on someone's heart in reality. Be careful you don't get drawn into hatred. Jealousy, the Bible tells us not to covet what other people have. Yet we're surrounded by adverts that tell us we should have everything at a cheap price and because somebody else has got it. Do not get sidetracked by self-styled Christian teachers who claim that they're the ones who know it all. Come to me, I know all the answers. You hear it so many times. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And what are those things that they preach? Many deny the Trinity. That's heretical. The usual ones that people use are, well, Jesus, he didn't really die. He just got injured slightly on the cross. They carried him and rode across the sea and saved him. Those who claim that he wasn't really God. You get so many people who think they're wonderful spiritual leaders giving out so much rubbish. We need to be alert. We need to be alive in the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God within us. Be alert. Be alert. Be aware of what's going on. Drunkenness, again, a very obvious caveat. Because when drunk, people lose their integrity. They lose their common sense. Their patterns of behavior go out the window. They say things they shouldn't say and do things they shouldn't do. Beware. When you're baptized here in this church, you make a promise to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's exactly what all of this is spelling out. I've heard some people say, well, it's just what James says. No. What it says in Galatians 5. Okay, and Galatians. And so you go on to Colossians 3. Well, they all say the same thing. We can read it and read it and read it and take no notice of it whatsoever. We need to take these words of God to heart. What does Colossians 3 say? It says, put to death, no, don't do, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Don't lie. You put off all these things when you come to be baptized, when you gave your life to Jesus. Why go back into them? God calls us, calls you and me to be a holy people. A holy people. Not just nice folk who live down the road. We are called to be holy. And that's going to mean, I think, that we're going to have some confrontation somewhere by people who don't like what we do, what we say, or what we believe. We need to stand firm. We need to feed on the word of God. Stand firm, filled with the Holy Spirit. And give them the words that they need to hear from the Lord. Not from me, not from you, but from the Lord. God calls us to be a holy people. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Do you know, so often you don't get that verse quoted very often in sermons and things. Don't just think about it. Do it. It's a very clear word from James chapter 1. And true holiness is not about an outward appearance. It's about having a heart that is focused on God's will. Is my heart focused on God's will? Is your heart focused on God's will? We need to ensure that our church here doesn't prevent a view of holiness, which is like the sort of slavish legalism of the Pharisees. So easy for churches to fall into that trap. To allow legalism to govern everything that goes on. Focus on what Jesus said. You remember the two great commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Not just a bit of it. All your mind. All your soul. All your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. What does loving your neighbour mean? Well, I'm sure you've heard this many times, but I'm going to read it again from Luke 10. Do you remember there's a legal beagle who wanted to justify what Jesus said, and he said to Jesus, who is my neighbour? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbour to him who fell among the thieves? He said, he who showed mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Love your neighbour as yourself. A very real challenge for us today. We live in a land where actually we've become more isolated in families and individuals. Our neighbours is a wide, wide area that we can go and help and serve and minister to. And Proverbs reminds us to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. For the rights of those who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. In the book of Acts, we read of the early church. We read of Dorcas. We read she was always doing good in helping the poor. Paul's ministry reflects the same concern. He said he continues to remember the poor. All the journeys he went through, all the persecution he went through, all the upsets, he still remembered the poor. And our message today should be liberation to those who are oppressed and deeply challenging to those who are doing the oppressing. So the message for today, keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Why? Because in Christ you are a new creation. You are a new creation. We need to take that message home with us tonight. We're going to be prophetic people. We need to be those who are holy, those who are compassionate, and those who fight injustices as we see them. And take this message out into the world. As Christian men and women, we need to model the world, model to the world, a different kind of community, upholding the cause of the needy and those who challenge those people who are being persecuted in any way. Time and time again, if you want to go through your Bible, see how many times the poor are looked at and God speaks about, for people to look after the poor, to have a concern for the poor, to do something about it. As prophetic people, I think God calls us to do just the same, to be a holy people, to those who do show compassion for those who are suffering and being abused. It's a challenge. I find it a great challenge. It is a challenge. But I think it's one as a church we need to face and accept and to act on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, continue to put in us the love for reading your word. Help us not just to read it, Lord, but to accept it, to live it. To ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to life so it actually does something in us that makes us do something. Not just read it and walk away. Lord, come and change our lives. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Help us, Lord, to be a holy people. Encourage us to show compassion on those who are suffering. Help us to stand up and speak out for those who are suffering injustice. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, as we seek to serve you this day and throughout the rest of this our time here, Lord. Bless us, we pray, guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.